This part of which is being brought to you by Wonder-Enriched Bread and Hostess Creamed-Filled Cakes.
Is it rolling, Bob?
So, people can develop the confidence, and more sincere people get the attention and help that they deserve. If he's just trying to get out of Pakistan, it seems like a very difficult exercise, or a very fruitless one for that matter, because there's so many other ways of going to Europe, or if you get just a little bit of help, taking on the monster that Islam has become while you're living in Pakistan, it just doesn't seem like it's worth it. I mean, you and I, we both know that anyone who's a Muslim, no matter how desperate he's willing to go to a foreign country, he's not going to say Muhammad was a pedophile or just abused the shit out of Muhammad and curse Allah and curse God. He's not going to do that.
They probably won't live long enough to make it out. I mean, we had in the last episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah,
like we had Salman. We had Shan Tasir, who was the son of Salman Tasir, and Salman Tasir was the governor, one of a hugely powerful man, the governor of the largest province of Pakistan. And even he was killed, and he wasn't even an apostate or anything. He just stood for somebody who he felt was falsely convicted of blasphemy.
So in Pakistan, getting accused of blasphemy, for just liking a post on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
So this would be a very extremely, like, the risk versus reward for what this person is doing. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to feed that out a little bit. That is, as you probably know by now, the secular jihadist for a Muslim enlightenment, which I faithfully listen to every time they put out an episode. There's a time element. Oh, by the way, welcome to Dixon Jeans, episode number 718. There's a time element to doing these things. Had I started recording 20 minutes earlier, you would have heard a clip from Shane and Tom's Squeeze Box, or the Squeeze Box podcast, which would have taken us, that's you and me, into an entirely different space. That's comedy. This, what you've just heard, is real life. Life and death. And theirs is toilet humor. And I guess I need both to keep real. It was a good episode, the Shane and Tom one, worth catching. Lots to hear on that. I think it was called New York, not Bork, or Bjork. Anyway, the one you are hearing, or have just heard, it connects in a lot of different ways. Again, what I'm getting at is this podcast is influenced by the immediate here and now. Now I'm in Bluffers Park on a sunny but cold day. And I come here to get out of home and listen to podcasts and create a new space for myself, not influenced by television or, emails I should be writing regarding my business this summer and so on, but to start fresh. And those are the two podcasts that I had on deck for today. It ties in, this one, it ties in with last night, which was the refugee committee that I'm on at our church to deal with getting somebody to Canada who is now in hiding because of death threats, and very real death threats, because people who are close to this person who is in hiding have already been killed. And this person, we're going to get to Canada, and we're very close now, and it's... the committee is to do with raising the necessary funds, and beyond that, finding the housing and support they're going to need to start a new life in Canada. So it's wonderful. It fits in with my commitments. It fits in with my connection. I mean, it springs from my joining this church, the West Hill United. And I guess it fits with my own little bit of beginning of to being not an activist. I'm far from that, but at least a commitment to my beliefs. It's wrong to kill somebody for blasphemy, period. And we have to help those who are in danger. And sadly, there are just so many other innocent lives, innocent in our eyes, guilty in the eyes of people who hold on like fucking fanatics to a goddamn religion that says you can't blaspheme anything about Allah or the Prophet or anything else. Fuck you, I can't. Fuck you and your religion. Fuck you. The group of men I watched standing outside the compound where the Christian missionaries were living, the women who ran the hospital and the school and devoted their lives to giving a good education to the girls in Nigeria, in that particular village, and to the women who ran the hospital, Sister Bernadette in particular, probably not even alive now, who ran that hospital, and if women came and they were poor, they needed help in their birth, they got it for free, and if you came from one of the expat companies, you paid. These were people doing real works, good works. It just happened to be the Sisters of Notre Dame. And seeing those men put on a show of force by the main road outside their compound where they lived, saying their daily prayers, bowing on the road as a show of force to show how much these Christian missionaries were outnumbered by these Muslims from Ouchi, the next town. Just as a heads up, we can stop traffic. We can choose to pray in front of your compound just to show you and remind you we are here in numbers you will never have. So maybe things like that have influenced my outlook on this religion. I remember getting out of a taxi in Sokoto in northern Nigeria, I guess on my way to Togo for Christmas, and absolutely everybody in that market and taxi stall was bent down facing Mecca and praying, and I'm standing there wondering, what the fuck do I do? You know, one lone figure standing up in this scene? It's scary. Anyway, God, do you see what I mean by this podcast? There is no direction to it. There is no focus. There's no pre-planning. There is no, okay, these are the points I have to get through today. Yes, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'll make notes. Ooh, remember to talk about this simply because I have a faulty memory. But today it was just, come to Bluffers Park. It's a nice day. Stop by the hamburger place. What do they call them? Big Tom's Burger King. And get your 80-cent coffee because you were so pissed off on the last podcast that you had to pay $1.25. Which the Rickster was quick to point out. Yeah, just listen to your last podcast. You're talking about paying too much for coffee. He didn't add asshole onto that, the Rickster. So we're a change of topics now. We're moving into a different gear. And it was only, today is Thursday, 10th of January. We might be celebrating my son's birthday, which is in a little while tonight because he's not working. So when he gets up, I'm going to say, look, we want to go out for supper and see what he has to say about that. Maybe he has other plans. I don't know. He will be 26, my younger son. The Rickster. Meeting him at the Jersey Giant, which I referred to on Twitter posts as my new backup bar for downtown Toronto. Next door to the Say Water, very close to it, along Front Street. A good 10, for me, maybe 15-minute walk from Union Station. Very friendly, very laid back, not too crowded. You can always get a table with a good window view. I got a little ambience, and it's not one of these fucking chains, you fucking firkins. I talked to some nice people and told them I was a podcaster, and they seemed interested, a mother and her son. And I enjoyed the conversation. Mind you, I had just toked up before coming in, so I was in a pretty good headspace. That shouldn't have anything to do with it, but I was nicely tweaked to want to engage with people and have real conversation. That's what smoking up does to me. It doesn't get me spacey or crazy. It just gets me want to engage and be open with other humans. And sometimes talk about my own podcast, which I did. And we'll see if my record remains unbroken of never, ever, ever having anybody I've met in the bar, given the links to my podcast to, ever, ever, ever hearing back from somebody say, hey, we met last night in the bar, listened to your show, I really enjoyed it. That hasn't happened yet. And so now my standard introduction to people is that, you know, nobody has ever gotten back to me after giving you this information, but here you are anyway, just in case. So, hey, if you're listening, send an email to Dixon James. That would be D-I-C-K-S-N, the letter N by itself, J-A-N-E-S, all one word, Dixon James at gmail.com. Now, I'm putting that out there because the Rickster's opening comment, you know, you really ought to make your podcast easier to find. That thing's not on iTunes. I couldn't find it anywhere. Took me forever to actually find a link to the podcast. But he had been looking for Dicks and Janes or whatever. Didn't get the... No, there is no and. It's just the letter and, Dicks and Janes. You know, maybe I made it difficult for people. Maybe I could have used an ampersand, but I wanted to keep it like I've done, we've done on the zine, which was always Dicks and Janes. Maybe it means Dicks in Janes. Whoa! Yeah, that's what some people thought. Okay, anyway, Time of the Rickster, you know what made it very special was we talked about our families, and I was particularly interested in catching up with his family because, as I mentioned on the last podcast, I'd met them all. And to find out, oh my God, the twins are 16, 15, 16. Oh my God, wow. It was a very, very nice time. Thank you, Rickster, if you're listening. He only listened to the one previous, to this episode. It was the first time probably in years. So we had a good time catching up on all the old podcasters, all the old friends we used to know from BAB gatherings. And he's a nice fellow for a New Brunswick boy. He's done very well for himself. There he is out in Washington working at Microsoft headquarters. Yes, indeed. With a big home and a going concern family and his wife working and lots of big stuff happening in his life. And now a new job with a new team and world travels. It's quite exciting. But the special part of it was actually just the two of us just talking over, I think, 5 pints of beer. I know because I just made the last train home. But that was a wonderful time. So thank you, Rickster. Thank Microsoft for that evening. Okay, so moving on. Tomorrow night, heading off to the Lindsmore. Now, there's a bar I can't remember when the last time I was in. It's always been known as a dive. It's not one you want to go to necessarily. It's the stop before Donlands. It's Greenwood. I think it's Greenwood, yeah. After Coxwell. And they're having a band. Dr. Dre in the Kitchen Sink or something like that. So it'll be too late for you again. I put these things out sort of telling people about the event, but this is never released in time for you to actually go. But I've invited Connie and I've invited John Meadows, and so it's going to be another good evening. Here I am talking about things in the future. Freeman Dre and the Kitchen Party at the Lindsmore Tavern, 1298 Danforth Avenue. Well, I did send it out to people in Toronto who I thought might be interested. And there you go. All right, so moving on. What do we got? What's left after that? I've done the catching up with the past. I've done a little bit about the future, the present. Things are good at home. I'm solidifying things for my my business. I've decided I have to keep that business going. I mean, why wouldn't I? I mean, I actually pay myself a consulting fee every month. It's just enough money for that, and I pay office rent. And I'm having a meeting soon with a teacher I've hired for the past couple of years. He's working, actually was volunteering or helping out before then, to see if he can take more of a, you know, a little more of a role, so I can pay him a little more and he can maybe do a little more, like go over the curriculum and just, you know, have somebody, somebody I can count on a little more for just a little more stability in the company and make him, he loves it and is certainly interested in coming back at least this summer, and I'd like to go ahead. And then the partner I had, my dear friend, we refer to each other as brother and sister, who's helped me from the beginning, Judy, who had this company called Take a Break Travel, is finally exhausted and is done with the travel business. She ran a coach company, that used coaches to take people all over North America for, you know, 1 week trips or just day trips, shopping excursions, theater tickets. And she just ran that thing 7 days a week, 24 hours. Like, really, her and her husband ran the whole show and made a great success of it. And have finally reached their limit, had enough, closed the business. And I thought, oh, wow, there goes my, that's a woman I depend totally on for booking the hotels, the restaurants, the coach, having the travel license, being able to do all of that for me. So this becomes, you know, this is a legitimate tour, and you know, that's the doing the Ottawa, the Montreal, the Quebec City, the taking us to camp, the picking us up at the airport, getting us to Niagara Falls, all the stuff she's done. And anytime there's a problem, she fixes it. Any kind of consultation, okay, it's pouring rain, we had this planned, what do you want to do? And just gives so much happiness to the teacher, because Judy and I tease each other. I mean, the teachers are on that coach and they see Judy and I interacting, it really sets a nice tone. And of course, she handpicks the drivers so that there's a very nice sense of trust and comfort for the girls and for the teacher. So it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, just exchanging emails with her today, and she's on board and said, even though I'm giving up the company, I will get another one and I'll be your person. I'll be on that coach tour with you, not just this year, but 2020 and on. So there it is, folks. I guess that's kind of a seed that was planted long ago, and it's continuing to blossom. You know, we're going to keep this thing going. So that's kind of good news and big news, I guess, for me. And that's, I guess, present and future. Present because I have to do the work now to cultivate these relationships, really what it's about. And also good news. Last night at the meeting for the refugee, and here's how it all ties in together, I was very proud to, when the right moment came and we're going over the budget and some of the budget shortfalls and things we have to do, to say that the school has committed in a very creative way to donate $500 to this project. Towards this refugee fund, and I will give in another $500 of my own from the company. So there's $1,000, which, you know, will help out in the long run. So everybody was happy about that, and I was happy to share that and say, yeah, that's another way I can do my little bit. The other thing is that they had me down for the person who could help with maybe ESL training as needed. Case the wife, because Greta pointed out that a lot of wives get isolated and stuck at home, and you need English as that tool to get you out into the workforce and doing things. So if I can help in that, they may be living not necessarily close to me, but we'll make some arrangements that I can see what I can do to help out. And I would like to also use my mediation training for any of the negotiating things that have to go on, and talking with people and being a committed third party should there any problems arise here and there, or even at the school the children go to. So there you go. All right, 20 minutes. There's you, there is me, there is us. Up to date, lots and lots and lots to be grateful for every day in this life. It's funny listening to Shane and Tom talking about, Tom will be turning 40. Holy shit. Oh, yeah, there's news. I'm going to Windsor. I have also managed to plan the Windsor weekend. So February 1st to 4th, I will be in Windsor, Ontario. Come and see me at the Fog Lounge. No, I won't be entertaining, but Tom will be entertaining. He always is, and I'm very much. That's a pilgrimage, a night at the Fog. It's always a blast. It's always interesting. And it's just great to catch up with my old friends Shane and Tom and keep all these relationships. That's something that I do. Keep the relationships healthy and the relationships that allow you to be yourself in whatever form you want to take. And that's the wonderful richness of true friendships that you invest time in and share. All right, Scarborough Dude, signing out from Bluffers Park. Bye for now.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. The ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught them yet, cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-i-oh! Loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. In the sky.
And Jones actually remained as the president until his death. Now, part of Jones's mission in India, which he inherited from Warren Hastings, was to translate the ancient Hindu legal codes from Sanskrit to English. And this would eliminate the need for British judges to rely upon the pandits. But Jones didn't actually speak or know Sanskrit. So soon after arriving in Bengal, he embarked on the study of the language so he could translate traditional Hindu laws and customs. What he quickly discovered is that Sanskrit, this ancient Indian language, shared many similarities with Greek and Latin. And these similarities were much the same as those found in other European languages, as well as Persian. But here was the key. Similarities among European languages could be explained as being the result of long-term borrowing between neighboring peoples. I mean, the Latin-speaking Romans interacted with the Germanic tribes east of the Rhine for centuries before the Roman Empire collapsed and the Germanic tribes poured into Roman territory. So linguistic borrowing was an accepted fact within the various European languages. But that couldn't explain the similarities with Sanskrit. I mean, how could the Germanic speakers from the icy climes of Scandinavia borrow such a large number of words from the ancient residents of India? I mean, there had to be another explanation. So in 1786, Jones gave a lecture to the newly formed Asiatic Society, which he had helped to establish. And in the lecture, he highlighted the close similarities between three apparently dead languages, ancient Greek, Latin, and Sanskrit. And he announced that Sanskrit derived from the same source as Latin and Greek. He also believed that the three were related to Gothic, which was a Germanic language spoken in Europe at a time before the Anglo-Saxons had found their way to Britain. And he concluded that Sanskrit, Latin, and Greek were all related to Persian as well. And the following quote from Jones's lecture is often cited as the first formal statement that there was an ancient Indo-European language. And this is the quote. "The Sanskrit language, whatever be its antiquity, is of a wonderful structure, more perfect than the Greek, more copious than the Latin, and more exquisitely refined than either, yet bearing to both of them a stronger affinity, both in the roots of the verbs and in the forms of grammar, than could possibly have been produced by accident. So strong, indeed, that no philologer could examine them all three without believing them to have sprung from some common source, which perhaps no longer exists." By the way, he uses the term philologer there, which is a fancy term for someone who studies the history of languages and the relationships between them. So that's basically what we're doing here. Jones also asserted that Persian, Celtic, and German probably belong to the same family of languages as Latin, Greek, and Sanskrit. And years of subsequent research has confirmed that he was correct in all of those assertions. Now, to be completely fair, I should note at this point that there were others who were also reaching the same conclusions as William Jones around the same time. In fact, about 20 years earlier, a French Jesuit named Gaston Laurent Perdue had identified similarities between Sanskrit, Latin, Greek, German, and Russian. For example, the Sanskrit word bratar and the English word brother. But his work was not as fully realized as Jones's work, and he didn't have the same profile as Jones. So Perdue's work went largely unnoticed at the time.
Okay.
Sometimes the person who gets the credit for a discovery is the person who
feeds
the world's attention, not necessarily the first person to actually discover it.
See,
I mean, Christopher Columbus still gets most of the credit for being the first European to discover America, even though he arrived almost 500 years after the Viking Leif Erikson. But it's Columbus's discovery that sparked the age of exploration in the New World.
So okay, so that is a podcast that I can thank John Meadows for. That particular episode was episode number 2, and there are at least 120 out, of the Indo-European Discovery, and it is the podcast called The History of English Podcast, and it is fantastic. Now listen, if you're not sure, listen to episode 120. That's what I started with. And that was all about the Black Death. And oh my God, the horror. It was just incredibly interesting. Enough so that I've done like John did, gone back to episode 1. And I'm going to go work my way through this series. So I'm going to say something right now. This is about a 60-minute, maybe a little less than that. This one looks to be 35 minutes or so. If you don't have enough time to listen to all the podcasts on your list, just stop listening to some of them or skip episodes. And I'm going to include my own in that. It doesn't really matter if you listen to every episode of Dixon Jane's. To me, it does. Hey, this is my thing. Each week is different. But to you, it's the same. I won't mention names, but there's other podcasts out there. I think, I don't need to listen to those. Delete, because I'm subscribed to so many, I will never catch up. And then there are others, especially the ones that hardly ever come up, like the Show Hole, that I won't miss. And thank you, Show Hole, for putting out so few episodes, to making that possible. And curse you, Scarborough Dude, for putting out a Dixon Jane's 1-hour episode every single fucking week. But that's the way it is. So I'm just seeing there's so much good stuff out there. And I'm not talking about cereal or anything else. Just word of mouth through friends. So John Meadows, thank you. Had a wonderful evening with John and Connie. And we've met up a few times together. And sometimes it's somebody else. Sometimes Brian's there. Sometimes the lovely Lisa is with us. But this time it was the three of us at the Lindsmore. I think I mentioned that. To see this band that I tweeted about, I keep thinking it's Dr. Dre, Freeman Dre and the Kitchen Party, I think it's called. And they were great. They were amazingly good musicians. Steel guitar player, fabulous. And this was like a $5 cover in his numbry little bar, which was great. What's the stop after Coxwell, before Donlan's? That subway stop was... You get out of the subway and there you are. You're at the bar. It was amazing. They had a decent selection of beer, cash only. It's that kind of bar. And it filled up for the band, but we got there at 7 and we just had a chance to talk. And the wonderful thing about bars, as I was telling Greta, and I'll get back to that, is there was a young lady there to clearly see the band, a huge fan, and we had an extra chair at our table, and she's just standing there in the middle, and I'm thinking, come on, Cam, offer her a seat. It's the right thing to do. And she joined us and turned out to be very interesting. We are now friends on Instagram. I did not tell her about this podcast for once. By the way, the last people, when I was out with Rick, to give them directions to how to find me, they never called back. So my record is still perfect. Not once ever has somebody, with the exception, and that was a little different because I met him in the park in real life, of Yes Sir, who made me that wonderful t-shirt of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. I'd like to think he's still listening, but I might have bored him too. So, you know, you could put my mind at ease by getting in touch with me, Dixon James, DixonJanes at gmail.com. Okay, won't say it again. Anyway, where were we? So the joy, she was a person who's studying to help people as they're facing death, people with cancer and so on. She's an artist, a poet, a very clearly very creative person, seems an absolutely lovely person. And I'm so glad we invited her to join us. And then, of course, the guitar player from the band, between breaks, came down and sat at her table to chat with her and get caught up. And that was just all great fun. So a wonderful evening out. But the little bonus, gee, I've got her on Instagram now, and she's posted some interesting stuff. A chat with Connie. I learned the inside outs of this bike ride that Connie takes part in and will be cycling again this year, driving from Toronto, riding from Toronto to Montreal. And it's incredible, you know, when you think of the logistics involved and how many people. So it was just, you go to a bar to get some beer and have some good conversation. And that's what we did. Wonderful, wonderful. So with that in mind, I'm just back from church. I'm parked out at the wonderful place whose name I can't remember. You know, with all the outdoor statues and so on, right near where Sluggish Doug lives.
Guild Inn. It's called the Guild Inn, jerk. You've been there a million times.
This great little expanse of space. It's a sunny day. The trees look lovely. There's blue sky. I'm going to get up and have a walk. But right now, I wanted to talk to you first. Am I shouting again? I'm sorry. It's just that I'm excited. So, we're in church today, and somebody gets up, and there's always announcements at the beginning for this and that, and tips for recycling, and things you can do to be a better person, and so on. And they organize church, I guess you'd call it a movable feast, where people want to have dinner together, and they'll sign up on a list, and if you sign up, you bring an appetizer, or a dessert, or something, or a salad maybe. And then somebody hosts it, and all the hosts get together. You pay $15, some money goes to the church. The hosts get together, and they provide the main course at their home, and people sign up, and then the hosts get together, have a meeting, and decide who's going to be going to whose house. You don't know when you sign up, so that somebody always knows somebody else and keep it friendly. And I thought, oh my God, that is the last thing I would want to do. I have no, I wouldn't want to be a host. I wouldn't want to be going to somebody else's house. It just, these are church people. They're all nice people, but that's not my thing. Like when somebody says we're having a, what do you call it? Where you bring, everybody brings something.
Potluck.
God, my brain, it's just, they're forgetting all the pieces. I know what I'm talking
about. It's called potluck.
You know.
Jesus Christ, are you stupid?
Bring it potluck. A potluck. Thank you. Jeez, I didn't want prick screaming at me again. I hate potlucks, and I'm on the book committee. We had a meeting today, too. I'll get back to my main thread. Don't worry. Be patient. I, unlike some people who put out podcasts and get sidetracked and never get back to the main point, I always do. I always do. That's a lie. But I almost always do. Okay, that's true. So, I don't want to do that kind of thing. Now, I did get on a sidetrack there that I wanted to flesh out. Anyway, well, back to the main point now. Forget that sidetrack. I'm sitting beside somebody, and I said, you know, I wouldn't want to do that. But, oh, I know, the committee, the book committee, one of the comments was, okay, well, who's going to bring food? And I said, I just don't want to do that. We're organizing the readings. We're taking turns leading the sessions. We're actually, you know, helping to teach this book or the chapters we're doing. We pick the book. I'm doing the blog. I was the one who sold the book and collected money. I've done enough. I'm not bringing fucking food. I didn't use the fucking word, but I'm not bringing fucking cheese snacks to this thing. If somebody wants to, great. Somebody steps up. Hey, I'll bring the food on Friday. So, great. Other people can do it. That's just not my thing. So this idea of going to somebody's house for dinner and being polite, that's not my thing. So I said to the person beside me, you know, if it was a bar, I'd do it. And she right away responds with something like, count me in. So after the service, we have our coffee time, coffee and cake, and people bring in snacks, yep, and we all enjoy it, except me, although I brought in a tin of cookies and left them. Anyway, I say to her, hey, thank you for that. Like, I was serious about that. I even have a bar in mind. She says, great. A third person overhears, what bar is that? And next thing you know, we're talking about the Eaton House, because that was my choice. Because she says, oh, how about the Black Dog in the Basement? I said, no, I've got another one. They need the business. The Eaton House, where I celebrated my 70th birthday. She said, oh, I know that place. Oh, man, great dance floor. So here's a person sitting beside me in church who doesn't want to go to one of these, you know, dinners at somebody's house, but is all keen to go to a bar. And I thought, wow, excellent. So next thing, there's three of us talking. Then somebody else has an interest. What's that you're talking about? And I said, well, a bar crawl, a bar tour. And then the other person says, no, you better call it a pub night. That's a little easier. I said, okay, a pub night for the church, West Hill United pub night. Next thing, Greta's going by and I said, oh, Greta, we need your blessing. Greta said, you don't need my blessing for anything. And then we get into a talk, and I had the most wonderful talk about bars with Greta and going ahead and doing this, and she's all for it. What a great idea, yeah. So, boys and girls, there will be a West Hill United pub night that I will organize and get together, and I'll tell people if I'm the only one there, great, I'll have a great time. Two or three people show up, that's enough, doesn't matter. But let's get out of here and let's, it won't be a fundraiser. Let's just get together and have a few drinks and if somebody wants to dance. So I'm going to go to the bar. I'm going to talk to George, the owner, and find out what would be a good night in March. I'll invite some of my other friends. Well, they may not want to. But John would. I'll tell Connie. I'll tell the lovely Lisa. Hey, I might be coming with some church friends, but let's get together and have a good time at the Eaton House. So I'm excited about that, and I love the idea that it came as sort of as a joke that I don't want to join any bloody traveling dinner show. But this has taken on a life. It's going to happen, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. And I love that whole concept of planting a seed and having it germinate, having it grow, having it burst through the soil, having it actually take place and happen, and all the other things, like meeting that young lady at the bar on Friday night, just through the whole putting yourself out there, going out, tapping her on the shoulder, do you want a seat? And all that it leads to. And this is instead of this fucking predictability of life, when you get locked in step to follow this, do that, here's the routine, here's the schedule, here's my budget, fuck you! You gotta be spontaneous sometimes. Now, I know this might not sound spontaneous because I'm planning it, But the idea of actually verbalizing it and having it come out, I'm thrilled about that. I got her email. We'll go back and forth. Other people are on board. It's not just me. And it just happens that it'll be a gathering of people go to church. It's not about church. We're not going there to talk about Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake. You know, it's to go and have some beer and maybe dance and have fun. I told Greta, you know, I told her what I like to do when I go there is to step outside, have half a J, come back in, and suddenly the conversations are more interesting. And Greta is just such a wonderful person. Her son is an artist. We got into a talk about that, something he did. And Scott, her husband, the non-drinker, starts describing the only pub he's ever been to is a pub in the Cotswolds in the middle of the forest, close to where they're ringing church bells. How wonderful. And it's just, there's a whole lot of good people at West Hill United. Interesting people. People I want to get to know better. And the way for me to get to know people better is over a beer in a bar. So it's all coming together in just such a nice way. And then who else but the Scarborough dude, or Ken, as I'm known in the church, would be the one to organize a pub night? Me! I'm glad about that. I'm proud of that. All right, Jesus Christ, I've said enough. Sometimes I do get carried away with myself, but you gotta pat yourself on the back sometimes, right? Let's get back to this podcast. I guess that's all. I know I had more to say about Timothy Leary and so on, but we'll save that for later on.
Dramatic increase in the study of ancient languages throughout Europe. Connections between ancient Sanskrit and European languages may have been noticed before Jones, but it was only after Jones that people began to take the connection seriously and began to study it in detail. In fact, the entire discipline of linguistics was developed in the 1800s in large part to determine which languages belonged to the Indo-European family and which do not. And we'll look at that research in more detail in an upcoming episode of the podcast. So, in case you're curious, what type of similarities was Jones seeing as he compared these various languages? Well, let me give you an example. You'll recall earlier that I mentioned that English has the word father and Latin has the word pater, and both words came from the same original source word. The Greek version of the word is very similar to Latin, and it's pronounced pater. The Sanskrit version of the word is pitar. So, pitar, pater, pater, and father. You can see how linguists realized that the P sound shifted to an F sound in the Germanic languages, but we'll hold off on that to the next episode. Now, in addition to having a very similar word for father in all of these languages, they also shared a compound word for God, which used the word father. The term was literally sky father. In Sanskrit, it was Deus Pitar. In Greek, it was Zeus Pater. In Latin, it was Jupiter. And the Greek version of the word, Zeus Pater, later simply became Zeus after the pater part was dropped. The Latin version of the word, Jupiter, later became Jupiter after another sound shift changed the Y sound to the J sound. This also happens sometimes in English. For example, when we say, did you, really fast, we sometimes convert the Y sound to a J sound. So it becomes, did you, as in, did you go to the store? So the later Romans and early French made this same sound change, and Jupiter became Jupiter. So all of that means that Jupiter and Zeus are both connected. Both words came from the same original root word, meaning sky father, in the ancient Indo-European language. There's another aspect of this same original Indo-European word, which is of interest to English speakers.
Fights between the blue you once knew. Floating down, the sound resounds around the icy waters underground. Jupiter and Saturn, over on their end around Titania. Neptune, Titan, stars can fry. Down.
if you want to buy it, LSD wasn't even
illegal. It was a new drug. Nobody knew what to do with it.
Well, when I got in, there was a lead in.
Oh, they really based off of this coffee because, number one, these are women who are coffee and girls, but I can get a good coffee and Burger King cookies.
They have a stack of coffee. And I show up
with the most money.
I know we don't do that anymore. I'm ready to go, but I really want to be like a less small, less
dollar 25 coffee.
So, what she looks at me, the answer to that is to get like a dupe anymore.
That's like 45 cents.
What
difference
she just lasts?
And she sells to $1.25. It's not going to be
easy. She's going to have to sell it over to the physical song on that goddamn thing.
I used to say that
in the 2 years ago,
right?
And then I realized later on, it's not easy for me to fall asleep.
I even went into my little bag.
Now I know why when you don't have to do anything, I'm not one thing for what I want to do.
To prove that
it's
the fucking
thing that I want.
Was really worth it anyway.
So I'm sure I was
like, man,
I'm very fast.
So I didn't talk to
the word of
the
side.
Let's just fucking write
just to be in
the show. I
need to talk to
you. Very nice.
Fuck, man.
Probably not.
Rice and chicken.
I've done one of the rest of my spits to
pull it more.
Seriously.
And off he went.
Mission and this guy's
team
was such
really,
a gutsy
I mean,
thing.
It was political. It was
all the kind of
things,
you know, I mean, he was... Yeah, check, check, check. Okay, I've only got 10 minutes left because I've just dropped 3 minutes into this podcast of the thing you just heard after the song by Pink Floyd. I'll get back to that. Thank you, Milan. Milan is one of my longtime listeners. First met, I thought it was a Mac users group. He thinks it's the Association of Canadian Teachers in Japan, of which I was involved and did the newsletter for a while. Anyway, the idea we were teasing, you know, about podcasts being too long. And Milan, somehow this came up in discussion on tweets with the usual crew. About triple decking, basically slicing the podcast in three and just playing the three layers simultaneously. And Milan actually did that for me. He said, I don't think you'll ever get around to doing it here. Try this. And at first I thought, like, why would he do that? And then, of course, then I listened. I thought, wow, I love it. Milan is a musician. And so I think he has an ear for things that, honestly, I could have played that whole thing. I don't think my listeners would have appreciated it as much as I do, but the texture, and I love texture. Now, Adam Greatrix, also known as Transpondency, was doing this kind of thing years and years and years ago. He's the artsy podcaster we never hear from, sadly, out in the West Coast, the Lost Coast. But the idea of hearing these layers... And, you know, one piece might slightly overpower the others, and you pick up that, and you pick up others. It's great fun, so I could not resist dropping that in there. And I thought it followed Pink Floyd nicely. Now, back to the music. I know people are pressed for time. I was just talking about that, how you can give up this show if you want. That's fine. But fast-forwarding through the music, I have to include the music. Like, it's just, it means something to me. It's what joins the pieces. They don't always fit. Nobody will ever understand my algorithms of, you know, why this is going to go there at this time. But, I mean, the Pink Floyd, for example, Jupiter and Saturn, because the word Jupiter just came up in the previous clip that we were talking about, how that was one of the, going back to the Indo-European languages. And it just stuck in my mind, and I thought, you know, I'm ready for some Pink Floyd. And then, of course, the clip of the triple decking seemed to go with Pink Floyd as well. It meshed nicely. Like, this is a head trip, as was Pink Floyd in those days. Oh, by the way, speaking of head trips, on the 100 Best Albums, the episode I recorded with one of the Jasons, can't remember which one, yeah, okay, not funny, is out. And it's kind of funny hearing yourself. Like, I was a little worried even about that. Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't worried, but I want it to be good, you know. And I've only listened to a part of it, maybe just a third. But it's okay. You know, I think I spoke of my love for the Love album, Forever Changes. So go ahead and listen to that one. Learn a little bit about some of the music I listen to. And, yeah, so that was the music thing. So anyway, I'm going to keep the music in here. And if people like the Mark Blevises of the world need to fast forward through them, go right ahead. To me, the ideal Dixon James listener, and it doesn't, I don't think this person exists anymore because there's just so much content out there, was a Roger Gillies walking his dogs at night through the snow in the Yukon. Like, there's a person who catches the intimacy, has the time as he's walking his dogs or frolicking through the snow, and he's listening. I mean, his head. And people are just too busy now. And, oh, God, there's another one. As this crew expands and grows and multiplies the number of podcasts going out there, you say, I want to listen. I want to catch up. But I don't have time, so I'll just zip it through it, and I really won't pay attention. And that's unfortunate. The Dixon Jeans was meant to be a podcast that you listen to if and when you had the time. And most of us are pressed. So anyway, we'll pass on that. All is great fun. I did want to talk about the newest asylum seeker to Canada, the young lady who escaped her family, and how I watched all that unfold while I was watching the Golden Globes, the live tweets coming out, help me. I hope I didn't already mention this in the previous clip, but I was very disappointed that our Minister of Foreign Affairs, I believe that's her job, Christina Freeland, basically dragged her out in front of the media, but especially in front of Saudi Arabia, and sort of said, hey, we got her. She's ours now because you guys are bad. The thing is, Saudi Arabia won't change. And I know this sounds so self-serving and so nationalistic and so... I don't know. Wrong, I guess, on many levels to say that. But Canada is right. I mean, our values are. We've made mistakes. Oh, my God. Let's not even drag up what we did to the native people and all the other shit and the Japanese and the discrimination and the Chinese head tax and everything we've done in our history that's wrong. Yes, yes, yes. Good to acknowledge all of this. But still, you can't deny that somebody like Trudeau and what he represents, the young Trudeau, we want a better world, and we want some kindness, and we want some understanding, and we don't want torture, and we don't want hatred, and we don't want the brutality that's accepted as a norm in Saudi Arabia and China. Now, China, of course, oh my God, now they're going to execute a Canadian drug smuggler, and at first I was all, oh no, come on. You can't do that. You know, his sentence was 15 years in prison, and now suddenly they decide, no, he's going to be executed instead. Surely that's punishment for Canada. But reading back to who he was and what he did, and the chances are the man is guilty. This isn't some guy they dragged off the street for no reason and they're going to kill him. I don't have as much sympathy. Maybe I shouldn't. I'd prefer they didn't kill him, that he, you know, maybe serves a sentence and comes back to Canada, a reformed man. But I believe he did have quite a criminal record from drug smuggling. And if it was the heavy-duty drugs that come out of China, that's going to hurt so many people. Well, then I'm sorry, fuck you. You should not be in that business. It's wrong. Oof, I didn't want to go there. Stuff from church. Oh, did I? God damn, I don't know what I said previously and or when I recorded, but did I mention the pub night? Oh my God, this is so bad. This is why people can triple deck this show, because I should have listened to what I recorded, because each week it gets harder and harder to remember what I recorded in the last clip. Pub night for church at the Eaton House. That's my plan. I'm going to go ahead with it. I think that's a wonderful idea, and I think it's just it's fitting for my role in this new church. All right. Anyway, one of the speakers did this second session on time. He said, make weekly plans, not yearly, you know, your New Year's resolutions. No, make them by the week, because life happens. A good life is one that is lived according to values. It's not what you accomplish. It's not the things you do. It's what are your values. That's how you measure your life. And I love that one. I think that's quite true. You can do anything, but not everything. Ask what is important and how urgent is it. And if it's neither, don't do it. To write a book, you have to write a book. Yeah, okay, got that. Perfectionism is the enemy of action. And how many of us use that as an excuse? Oh, it's got to be just right, or I'm just not even worth doing. Sometimes we need to turn off our brain. Absolutely we do. And then a big one. Vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. That seemed important at the time. Maybe it's not now. So anyway, Dixon Jane's listeners, thank you, those of you who actually listen and listen to the whole thing and don't do it at double speed or fast forward through the songs. Oh my God, are there any of you left out there? I guess I'm doing this for me, so I'll just continue to do it my way. I'll try to keep this for 1 hour. I know that's too much already, way too much, but I can't do it any less than that. In fact, yeah, that's not possible. So this it is what it is. Ugh. I guess we don't have any time for Timothy Leary. I went in to take a dump, bought the book with me, highlighted a couple of things. Leary was a fan of Arthur Koestler, whose books I read. I can't remember the title now. His theory of juvenilization argued that evolution occurs not in the adult form of a species, but in the juvenile, larval, or adolescent stages. And this is why Timothy Leary turned to the young people. The ability to take control of your own brain and choose your own reality was, he felt, a historic step forward. As historic a step forward as the discovery of tools or language. Wow. So probably around that point is when a lot of people thought Leary was crazy, but he believed that, right? How about this figure? During the post-war baby boom of 1946 to 1964, 76 million Americans were born, twice the expected number. Increasingly, it looked as if Leary's psychedelic revolution was not going to occur in the middle-aged professionals such as himself, but in the emerging generation. And of course, that proved to be true. And of that generation, the young had a sense of invincibility and moral certainty, and was a major cause of the optimism and excitement that characterized the mid to late 1960s. I'll leave it on that note. I've already gone over time. Sorry about that. Come back next week, please. You know, I'll be here. There'll be more. I'll try not to repeat myself. Scarborough Dude! Signing out. Ooh, I'm in the van, so I can actually ring the bell.